Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday on Sports Grid Radio. So anyway, we're on everywhere and... of course, as well, San Diego and Southern California on the Mightier 1090. And I'm watching this game. I can't believe what I'm watching. They have not been able to solve this kid, Demko. The Knights have literally peppered this guy with 27 shots. He saved his last, literally his last 90-plus shots. They almost scored right there, but they still couldn't score. There was all kinds of chaos in front of the net. The kid was out of the net. He was down on the ice. It was an open net, and there were bodies everywhere, and they still couldn't score. They just can't score. They cannot score. Look at that. Look at that open net, Mafia. Wide open, and they can't score. They cannot score on this kid. So it's almost as though, look at the stomach save and the toe jam save right there. A toe jam save, like unbelievable. His body's flailing all over the place. I think he's flat out getting lucky at this point. And he's so lucky right now. 130
minutes of shutout.
130 minutes of shutout, over 90 saves in a row. He's just absolutely unbeatable right now. This could be the end for the Vegas Golden Knights. But we'll see. They're still tied. No score. Mafia's got the under. And the other game... Kivi Ranta had the hat trick. A rookie has a hat trick in a game seven, and they go back to the Western Conference finals. The Dallas Stars, for the first time since 2008, they beat Colorado 5-4. Colorado had a 3-2 lead. They had a 4-3 lead, and they couldn't win because they let a rookie have a hat trick. You cannot give up a hat trick to a guy. I don't care if he's a rookie or a 10-year veteran. You cannot give up a hat trick to a guy in a big game seven and expect to win. That's all there is to it. Coming up this hour, John DeSilva on the Kentucky Derby with some great picks for the race tomorrow in Louisville. And then after that, Randy Cardoon talking about the Lakers game at the end of the game. I think the Rockets were up 6 at the end of the third, so... we'll keep our eyes on that fourth quarter, and we'll keep our eyes on the rest of this hockey game between Vancouver and Vegas.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. Because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Rockets are up 12. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, it's just crazy. They're leading the Lakers, and there's 9 left in this game, basically. And then I thought that inbounds call on Tucker was terrible. That they threw that ball up in the air for Davis, and Tucker stole it, and they called a foul on Tucker. That was a weak-ass call. you got some guy 6'4" stealing a ball from a 7-footer on an inbounds pass, you got to give that guy the respect of making that steal. So anyway, ball don't lie. Rockets got the ball back. They just stole it anyway. Westbrook shoots a 3. Points. Oh, 97-82. Yes, it's talking. Westbrook is just talking so much smack right now, yelling, screaming out loud. The game's getting all kinds of chippy, too. They're talking smack to one another. And he just stuck that in Davis's face, a 3 on the wing. And remember, Westbrook can't shoot, right? They always say, Russell Westbrook can't shoot threes. He can't shoot. Don't worry about him. They are up 15 right now on the Lakers with 9 minutes to go. So maybe they should talk some more about LeBron. You know, let's hear more about LeBron's greatness. As the Lakers are bending over right now, the Rockets are up 15. Now, anything could happen. Anything could happen the rest of the way, grant you. But you've got to give the Rockets respect for what they've done tonight. You've got to give them respect. They have shown up. They just got done playing a 7-game series, right? And 2 nights later, they're beating the Lakers' ass. The Nuggets couldn't do that to the Clippers. Mavi, do you think that the Nuggets-Clipper game 2 will be any different than game 1?
I think it might be a little bit better, but I don't think it's going to be much better. I think, you know, they're going to hang with them a little more. But the deeper this gets in the series, the more likelihood we're going to see exactly what we saw in that first game, where the Nuggets are just going to be tired. They're going to be beaten down, and they're going to hang for a little bit at the start of the game, and then all of a sudden the Clippers are just going to run them out of there because they've been rested, they're more deep, and you know, they have just a lot better defense, so they're going to make them work harder the whole game. But they might have a little bit more fight game, too. Hopefully, it's, you know, within 15 points, they're not getting completely blown out. But I don't see a great series, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't either. Not at all. All right, so just so we're clear, we're going back and forth watching this hockey game 7 and this basketball game. They hit the post. The Knights hit the post. They can't even, you know, I don't know if it was a crossbar or a post. But they cannot. They just called another penalty on Pacioretty. My God. I mean, how many power plays are they going to give them? I haven't watched it close enough. Have they given Vegas any power plays in this game? Because I've seen them have 5-minute majors, everything else. Now, Reeves deserved the 5-minute major. But I've seen Vancouver have multiple power plays. And I have not seen Vegas have power plays. I could be wrong. Here we go. I just want to look at the
16-4 in the penalty minutes right now.
Well, there you go. So I'm not wrong. 16 minutes in power plays for the Canucks and 4 for Vegas. Refs doing a great job tonight with this game. How do you give one team 16 minutes and you have 4? Can you explain that to me, Moff? It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, even if you take away, let's say, the extra 3 minutes on Reeves, you know, make just a regular power play, still that's 13-4. You know, it's still more three times the amount of penalty minutes you're giving one team over the other. So that seems a huge disparity in a game 7, especially if it's this close, this tight, you know, that you no score, both goalies standing on their heads at times to give that many power plays just really seems lopsided and like you're trying to root from one side.
30-12 in shots. 45-24 in hits, Vegas leads, but Vancouver's won all
of their shots in this period. 6 shots in the first 2 periods, 6 shots in this period.
So they have, they've won a bunch of faceoffs, 27-17, but I think that's overrated. They've had 28 block shots, Vancouver to 10 for Vegas. And now Pacioretty's sitting with a power play here with 9:49 left in the hockey game. And a goal, bottom line is a goal is going to win the game. It's going to be a 1-goal game. It's going to be whoever scores first wins. It's no score, third period, game 7. You know it. First goal in wins. And it's hard for me to watch both. I'm sitting here enjoying this Rocket game. I really am. Like, there's nothing I want to see more than this team beat them. I mean, honestly, like, I'm so sick and tired of them sticking the Lakers down our throats on TV. Every game, it's the Lakers this, the Lakers that. I mean, I think the Clippers are better than the Lakers, and all we ever hear about is the Lakers because of LeBron. That's all you ever hear about. I just saw Davis shoot an air ball so bad, somebody could have lost an eye and a tooth. I mean, that was the worst shot I've ever seen. Did you see that air ball? I mean, he missed it by 7 feet. I don't know what that was. I haven't seen a shot that bad from him in a while. 97-82.
I'm behind on that game.
Oh, well, don't watch because it's bad. You might go blind with the shot he just missed.
Yeah, I got the dual screens going, so I have the hockey game live on the TV, and then I'm streaming the game, the other game on the other TV through the device, so it's probably about a minute or two behind you always.
The Rockets have the ball, and they're up 15, and they've called a foul on the Lakers. So you know what it is? What I'm watching right now is the Rockets are moving the ball really well. They're not turning it over. And Westbrook's hitting a three right in Davis's face. Things like this. They're getting good looks because of ball movement. And they're up, you know, 15 with the ball. And I just have to be clear here because I don't want to miss the hockey game either. They're not shooting free throws here. They're not in the bonus yet. Neither team is in the bonus. Westbrook to Gordon. I'm watching them here. Every chance they get. The step back, he misses it. But they get the rebound. Tucker got the rebound. That's incredible. Don't tell me he didn't get fouled. Don't even tell me he didn't get fouled. That's got to be a foul. They're going to call the foul on the Lakers. It's got to be a foul because it was a foul. You got to be kidding me. That better be on the Lakers. The guy got mauled. Tucker's got the ball. LeBron tackles him trying to get a jump ball and never got it. That's got to be a foul on LeBron James. That's as simple as that. He tackled him. He tackled Tucker. That's a foul. He mauled him, and he never got the ball. He's got to get a call there. You got to be kidding me. LeBron tackled him, and there's no, that's just got to be a foul. They're calling it a jump ball. He gets every call. Oh, my God. No, it's a foul. They gave LeBron the foul. I'm going to puke if they don't call that foul. He tackled him. Oh, Harden from downtown misses it. But Davis tips it out of bounds, so they still have the rock. And a fresh shot clock. Oh, look at that save. I'm going back and forth, losing weight over here. Demko with a huge save on Smith, Riley Smith. So it looks like they've killed off the power play. 8 seconds left on that power play. So it might be tough during these interviews with Da Silva and Cardoon because I'm going to yell stuff out right in the middle of it. I can guarantee it. It's going to happen. So I have my eyes on these games. I'm literally just freaking out, man. Freaking out, man. Dude, Pharrell's freaking out. He's watching games and freaking out. Anyway, it's just the drama here. The drama of this kid, this Demko, no one's ever heard of him. I heard all about he played at Boston College and everything else. I still never heard of him. I won't even have heard of him tomorrow after I've heard of him. I've never heard of him. Even after I've heard of him, I still don't know who he is. Anyway, he's just making a name for himself tonight, that's for sure. And then he still got him scoreless, shutting him out. And then right now, your boy Harden lighting it up. It's now 101-82 and the foul. Oh, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing what the Rockets are doing to the Lakers. 7 minutes left. Oh, my God. They're just taking them to the woodshed. Harden getting involved and won the foul on Davis. Shake out. Ooh.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We'll be right back.
Vegas just scored Theodore off the draw on the power play. Right off of the draw, they sent it to the point, and he wristed one up in the air, and it went top shelf over Demko's shoulder, and Vegas is finally solved. Margaret Thatcher, Demko, one zip, Vegas, 6 minutes left and counting. The power play in game seven after being shut out for over 100 shots. And over a buck and a half minutes, I mean, I'm talking 150 minutes or something of that nature, they had not been able to solve this riddle, otherwise known as Demko. But they scored on the draw on a wrister, top shelf, stick side, up where grandma hides her reefer in the cabinet in the kitchen. And it's one zip nights in game seven. Now they need to close the door and not let Vancouver score or have a goal with the extra attacker in the empty net. Still one zip. It's not over. We'll keep our eyes on it. John Da Silva is our odds maker and horse capper and our horse expert. We love to talk ponies with John Da Silva, legend in the business. And, of course, tomorrow's the Kentucky Derby in Louisville, and we're excited for it. We had him on Coast to Coast today. If you missed the show on the TV side on Sports Grid TV, you got him now on the bench. John, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, very excited now that Vegas scored. I got Vegas at a minus 1.5, a plus 114, so let's go Vegas.
Anyway, listen, I appreciate your picks for the Derby. I know you sent me all of them. I'm going to go through all of them when I got about 2 minutes left in the segment here. Mafia will tell me when I got 2 minutes left, and I'll just rattle them off. But before then, I want to discuss some of these horses. All right, so today you talked about Tis the Law, how great the horse is, and really basically one of the strongest, you know, horses you've seen, literally, you said, in a while, even though we've had a couple of Triple Crown winners. Do you put this horse in that regard with some of these recent Triple Crown winners we've seen?
I would, because the way he's doing it so easily. He's dominating. He has done it the right way. He started off slow. It was a little shaky, but each race he's learning. He's getting better. Barkley Tag is felt very confident. Manny Frank, you see the confidence he has in the horse. They are rolling. I mean, it is just unbelievable what this horse has done from beginning to end. I don't see any weaknesses right now.
So what about all this talk about the guy, Manny Franco, riding a horse has never done anything, and no horse has ever won it from the 17, and that no horse less than a 2-1 has won the Derby since Spectacular Bid in 79. Is that all BS, or do you think that goes out the window?
Scotty, you know better than anybody, rules are made to be broken. So who cares about these so-called rules and things that didn't happen? Eventually, it's going to happen. So, look, we never had Kentucky Derby in September. It's happening. So the hell with the rules. This horse is going to do it.
What is there's people actually saying that if he loses, it'll be to a horse like New York Traffic or King Guillermo. Do you believe that?
Well, King Guillermo, unfortunately, had a scratch. He came up with a fever, and that's a horse owned by former Lane catcher Victor Martinez. New York Traffic, some people do like him. I have some worries that he's going to get the distance versus these. He is a talented horse. I just don't see him. If anybody's going to beat him, it would be Honor AP, who comes from a trainer who's won the Kentucky Derby, who trained Zenyatta to be Horse of the Year, who knows what he's doing, who knows how to get a horse ready to win the big race at the big time. That's the only horse who I think has a chance to be Tis the Law.
Who were the horses beyond Guillermo that were scratched? I know you told me today a couple others were scratched.
Right. You scratched the number one horse, Finnick the Fierce, who was an interesting story because this is a horse that has one eye. He's missing his left eye. And some people were, but him joined the rail, he couldn't see the rail anyway. So they thought it could be some danger, but there's some issue going on. Nobody's saying exactly what it is, but he was scratched by the vets today.
And was the six horse scratched?
Yes, that's King Guillermo.
Oh, that's King Guillermo. A lot of people were betting on that horse. So is that a horse that has one eye? Is that a cousin of Left Eye Lisa?
That one and Patch. You know, we ran in the Derby a few years ago.
So tell me about, I didn't get to really talk to you today about, you know, Authentic on the outside. I mentioned him, Baffert's horse, but so you don't give that horse a shot? It's, you know, one of the chalk horses.
He's one of the chalk horses. He's very talented. The problem is I'm not sure he wants to go the distance. And his last start in the Haskell, the horse set the pace, and he had a 2.5-length lead in the stretch, and the horse won by nose. He almost got caught by New York traffic. I just don't think at the end he wants to go this far. I mean, that was a 9-furlong race. Now they're going another furlong. I just don't see him lasting.
So tell me about the difference between running in the first Saturday of May and running on Labor Day weekend in terms of the track, the weather, you know, the humidity, anything like that has got to be different, right?
It definitely is different because you take a horse like Tis the Law, who he started running last year at Saratoga in August. He skipped the Breeders' Cup. You know, he ran 3 races. Then he came back in February. He won the Holy Bull. Then he runs in the Florida Derby, which would have been his final race before the Kentucky Derby. But since the Kentucky Derby got postponed, it gave him a little more time to train, to get some more stamina, to learn some things. He runs in the Belmont, and he destroyed the field that day. Comes back in the Travers, destroyed the field. He gets experience. He's older. He's physically more fit. And this is a horse that Manny Franco, who's learning to get to ride this horse, he's developed the confidence as well. And experience counts a lot in a situation like this.
All right, so, what a save by Demko in front. A guy standing all alone, and there's sticks flying. Schmidt had a chance on the doorstep. He was delivering the mail, and he couldn't score. And the husband was out at work, and the wife was home alone, and she was good to go, but she slammed the door in his face. He had a chance. Anyway, so no fans at Churchill Downs. How does that change everything at all? Does it? Because, I mean, I enjoyed the Belmont with no fans. I could care less.
It changes a little bit because with the outside horses, they would hear the roar of the fans coming out of the gate. And now that's not going to happen. So that's going to help Authentic and Tis the Law to be a little bit more relaxed coming out of the gate. And then for the jockeys, when they hear the fans and they feel that emotion, sometimes the blood will rush to their brains. They may decide, okay, I'm going to do something stupid and go faster than normal. That's not going to happen now. They're going to be able to relax a little bit.
All right, so here's what John gave me. 17, Tis the Law to win. Use the 16, Honor AP to win as well. Then do a 16-17 exacta box. Do the triple, 16-17 with 16-17 with 2-14, right? Triple, 16-17 right. With 16-17 with all, which is a really smart bet. You can play the superfectas for 10-cent increments this year. The superfecta, 16-17 with 16-17 with 2-14 with all. And then the superfecta, 16-17 with 16-17 with all, with 2 and 4. And then the superfecta 14. Play costs 5.20 each. What?
You know, it's 2.14 that last leg, not 4, 14.
Oh, 2.14. Yeah. All right, I see, because I had it at 2.4 here. So the superfecta, 16-17 with 16-17 with all, with 2.14, right?
Right.
That's fantastic.
And that's
this is incredible.
$5.20 bet.
Right.
You could make a couple hundred bucks with that superfecta. You know, we can get the right long shots to come in.
Right. So how fast do you think the race is going to go tomorrow? No fans, good weather. Is it supposed to be good weather tomorrow in Louisville? Score, empty netter, Vegas wins.
Good weather.
2-0 Vegas. They're going to win. They just got the empty net goal. So that's it. Vegas is going to meet Dallas in the Western Conference Finals. Cover! Pharrell took Vegas in Game 7. All right, so good weather tomorrow. Good weather tomorrow, John?
Good weather tomorrow. I mean, we ran the Kentucky Oaks today, and that race was run in a stakes record winning time, broke Rachel Alexander's record for winning that race. And if Tiz Law is as good as I say he is, there's a good possibility he might be able to break the stakes record in the Kentucky Derby.
All right. Sounds exciting. I can't wait. When is post time for the race? I got to hurry here.
Post time is 7:01 on NBC, and they can watch the Islanders play for the playoff live tomorrow against the Flyers afterwards.
All right. Perfect. So watch the Derby first, then watch Game 7, Islanders Flyers. John Da Silva, thanks so much, buddy. Enjoy the race tomorrow. I love you.
You got it. Good luck. Love you, too.
All right, my buddy John Da Silva, our horse odds maker on Pharrell on a Bench and on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. All right, 2-0 Vegas, they're going to win. Now I can focus on the end of enjoying watching the Lakers lose. /112.97 Rockets blow out the Lakers in game one of the Western semi. Nobody saw that coming. Everybody just gift wraps everything for LeBron James. I mean, he's going to win everything, going to win it all, going to win every game. The entire first half, they talked about him so much, I wanted to choke on my dinner as they were losing. Like, they were down. They literally led. I already went down through the scoring for you. After 12-12, they never led again, right? So they were getting, beat. Nothing major. 5, 6, 7 points at best. 4-2-1. But they never led again. But they talked about LeBron like he'd already won a championship. I mean, they talked about that dunk he had on Westbrook for about 10 minutes. The announcers were embarrassing. I mean, it was embarrassing. You've got to talk about that the Rockets were upsetting them and that they were playing better than them and that they were leading them and that they couldn't stop Harden. And he was doing whatever he wanted to him. Instead, it was the LeBron hour. It made me sick to my stomach. Now, I love LeBron like everyone else. His game is incredible. I think he's a badass. I got nothing bad to say about him other than this isn't about him. This is about the Rockets played better than the Lakers tonight. And then even in the end of the game, all they did was show LeBron James sitting on the bench. They should have shown him sitting on the bench, too, because he left the game with Davis because they got worked. Randy Cardoon is our buddy from KNX in Los Angeles. What did you think of that game one? Were you surprised that the Rockets pushed them around? The little Rockets, the small ball Rockets.
Scott, you said that nobody saw this coming. Au contraire. Au contraire, my friend. Somebody saw this coming, and it wasn't me necessarily. It was Frank Vogel. He talked about this earlier when he said he's one of the guys who believes that when a team's sitting around waiting to face a team who is in the middle of a big, let's say in this case, 7-game series, the team sitting around, he said during his media availability, is the underdog to him. He thinks that the team that has been playing is the team that should be favored. Now, we didn't see this when the Clippers just destroyed Denver by 23 the other night, but we did see it tonight. And in this case, like we saw in the Portland series, Lakers lose their first game. It wasn't pretty. And remember, they still have a bunch of games to go. So now the question is, can the Lakers make their changes? Can they do their adjustments and come back for game two coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, it's amazing to me that they let, to be honest with you, with the size that they have, and I mean this, the length they have, to let, honestly, three guys. Harden had 36, and Gordon had 23, Westbrook had 24. The numbers are even more staggering with Westbrook, 24, 9, and 6. And between those guys, 7 three-pointers. Rivers hit a couple of three-pointers. Green hit a three-pointer. Tucker hit 2. Covington hit 2. I mean, they absolutely, 14 of 39 in threes. The Lakers weren't that bad at 11 of 38. But I'm surprised they let three guys have that kind of productivity with their defense and with their long reach and how they defend. Like, I saw Westbrook late in that game stick that three in Davis's face. I couldn't even believe what I was watching. I mean, one guy's 7 foot, the other guy's 6'4".
And there you see the Houston top three. Who's going to be the Lakers top three? That's the next question a lot of people are wondering. Okay, so you know that Davis led the Lakers with 25 and LeBron had 20. Who comes in the number three spot? They don't have a third guy, really. A lot of people for a long time thought it might be Kuzma. He only had 8 points tonight. But Alex Caruso, right. He was the Lakers' third guy who had 14. Now, normally, that's not the guy you expect to come in and get those numbers. But again, I think it was a feel-out session game. This is Houston doing the Houston thing while the Lakers were kind of feeling them out. They wanted to see what they were ready to do. Yeah, they lost, but I want to see now if they can make some changes, because again, these Lakers, unlike Milwaukee right now, I don't think they're on a death spiral. I think that these Lakers are in the early stages. They want to see what Houston's got. Rockets showed them. They really showed some great shooting from outside. They played some decent defense. I mean, the Lakers didn't do horribly bad, but again, Rockets had the momentum, and I really think that this Laker team is going to come back.
How do you respond to the fact that they had the same amount of rebounds as a team twice as big as them? The Rockets had 41, so did the Lakers. That's amazing to me. You know what I said going into the game on my TV show? I said that the key to the game for me is blocking out and sticking your keister out and ramming it into somebody and letting them know you're there. There's nothing that can't be accomplished in basketball, in rebounding, if you block out physically and you just stick your body on someone and shove them out of the way with your keister. And I saw a lot of that tonight. Great blockouts against, you know, 3 7-footers. I mean, everyone says the Lakers are so big, so long. They got, in my opinion, 41 apiece for the rebounds is embarrassing for the Lakers.
And I think the Lakers, believe it or not, were kind of rusty. I mean, you know, I think they were out there and they were playing, but they really haven't played a lot of days of actual competitive basketball lately, while the Rockets have been playing every other day for, you know, basically a couple of weeks now and playing in some of the series that they've been playing in. So they actually have been warmed up. They're on a roll. Whereas the Lakers, yeah, they've had practices, but they really haven't kept up the pace at all. I mean, how many times have you watched, for example, in a football season, you've watched a football team get a bye in the first round, or a basketball team get a bye, or a baseball team, yet the teams that are coming in and battling the whole way come up, and they're the ones who we all, not always, but certainly a good chunk of time, see that the underdogs come in because they've been playing. And I think that's really what was going on here. I think the Lakers played okay, but they really weren't up to par. I mean, they weren't able to keep up with the Rockets, and Houston just dominated. I mean, it's something I see a lot. And while that didn't happen in the Clippers series against Denver, boy, did it happen tonight. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second. The Clippers look fantastic. And now, which team, you're there in Los Angeles. We're on the air in Los Angeles right now on Mightier 1090. And I have to ask you, do you think the Clippers are better than the Lakers? Because I think they are.
I think at the moment, maybe. You know, keep in mind who they've been playing. I think that the Clippers have been playing. When they're on, they're really, really good. When the Lakers are on, they're really, really good. Lakers cooled down a Portland team that was just completely, I hate to use the pun, but blazing. I mean, they were just playing so well, Portland was, and then they come in and they take the first game from the Lakers, and the Lakers just shut them down after that. Clippers have an opportunity here to really make a statement by getting past the second round for the first time in, like, practically ever. So this is important to them. This is more than just playing the Denver Nuggets. This is the Clippers actually taking the next step. And if they can do that, if they can you imagine Lakers and Clippers potentially in the Western Finals? For Clippers fans, that's like so far the tip of the iceberg in their careers, because Clippers have never been able to get out of the second round before. Lakers, they still have a lot of work to do. And I believe right now, if you want to talk about today's action, oh, absolutely. Clippers look much better, and they're playing better right now. But I really believe the Lakers are going to come back.
Yeah, I think the Clippers, if they lose to the Nuggets, I'll keel over because they're better. I think they're twice as good as Denver. I mean, they are twice as good as Denver. That's all there is to it. And that game one showed you what they're capable of. I won't be surprised, Randy, if they whack them again tomorrow.
Well, I believe so, that Paul George is playing better now. I mean, he had a tough time in the bubble on campus, as they say. He had a tough time, and I think emotionally he's now coming back. Plus, keep in mind, family members are coming out of the quarantine out in Orlando. I believe Frank Vogel said it's probably tonight or after tomorrow or probably tomorrow. So now these guys are going to have their families around, and that's certainly going to be a benefit. We will see how that has an effect on just about all the players, but still, for the Clippers, they are playing so well. Again, Paul George is just starting to get it together at the right time. And don't discount Ivica Zubac, the center, because he has been leading this team for the most part in the rebounding. And when it comes around, he actually in the playoffs was trailing Kawhi Leonard. But Zubac has been a consistent force, and it really grates on a lot of Laker fans that Zubac used to be a Laker. But again, if you take a look at where he might fit in today's Laker team, I really don't see it. So the fact that they got rid of him is probably a good thing.
Yeah, it's not his fault that the Lakers let him go to the Clippers. I think that team looks fantastic with Zubac and Harrell. What did you think of Harrell getting the Sixth Man Award?
How about that? Third straight year for a Clipper getting the Sixth Man Award. I mean, it makes it easy. I mean, all Lou Williams has to do is go to his prize locker and dust it off and go, here, Montrez, there you go, buddy. Hey, congratulations. I mean, he was basically kind of blowing on it to get all the dust off the shiny parts and before he gave it to Montrez. And Montrez deserves it. I mean, it's really, really cool that he's been doing this job this year. And it's just amazing because the Clippers format, the Clippers offense just really relies a lot on the sixth man. And they've really come to play in this one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What do you think of the Dodgers and Padres in this short season that's been going on? They both look fantastic.
Yeah, Dodgers 29-10. I believe last time I looked, they were leading Colorado. But I mean, Dodgers with 29-10 record, they've won 10 straight at home, 18 of the last 21. I mean, they're doing, I think, what a lot of people thought they would eventually do, because with all the talent they have on that team, they are just playing great baseball. The Padres, now that's a team that I don't believe a lot of people saw, at least at the beginning, having much of a shot. But boy, they have really gelled at the right time, and they are playing great baseball right now. And, you know, from seeing them from afar down in San Diego, isn't it about time? I mean, it's great to see the Padres playing good baseball, getting into a playoff picture. And with all the bad baseball we've seen down there, it's great to see them finally playing and finally getting some wins. I'm really looking forward to the postseason this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're up 6-0 on the A's right now in the eighth inning, and the Rockies Dodgers at the Ravine are 2-2, bottom seven. But the Dodgers tied, but they've been so incredible. And Kershaw with 2,500 strikeouts the other night. Great things are happening. Betts has been unbelievable. So we got a lot going on in Lipstick City. Lakers lose to the Rockets. Clippers are up one. They play again tomorrow. Randy Cardoon, KNX. Always good to catch up, Randy. You know, you're our big source in Los Angeles for everything going on with the teams. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Enjoy the rest of the series. We'll talk again, I'm sure.
You got it, Scott. Have a good one.
All right, there he is, Randy Cardoon out in Lipstick City, Los Angeles, Cali, Los Angeles, City of Light. City Light. Anyway, there you go. Orioles lead top 7-6-3 over the Yankees. Astros trail the Angels 5-2, if you can believe it, in the eighth. Rangers trail Seattle 6-1 in the ninth. Giants are down 6-4 to the D-backs, end of the fifth. Everything else is a final. We'll try to hook up with Morenci next. It's Pharrell on the Bench. This is Sports Grid Radio. All right, have a great Pharrella Day weekend. I guess we'll be back Tuesday, right, Mafia, with the Coast to Coast on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern and Sports Grid Radio Pharrell on the Bench on Tuesday night at 10 Eastern. So I think on Labor Day we're off. But either way, have a killer weekend with your family and friends. Be safe. Drink a lot of beer. Smoke a lot of fatties. I know that Morenci's up next, Sports Rage. Hey, Gabe, what did you think of Vegas finally solving Demko, and then the Dallas, the rookie having the hat trick to beat Colorado. Colorado led 3-2, 4-3, and then lost 5-4.
Yeah, wild game sevens, both of them unique in their own way. I think it was fitting. Vegas were the better team. Let's be real, Demko was the difference for Vancouver over the last three games and kept them in it. It was amazing, though, Scotty. And you look at the goal that Vegas scored, and how about the irony that Theodore is actually from BC? So,
yeah,
get beaten by a local kid. The sports can be cruel. But just shoot the puck at the damn net. And you look at Demko. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. One of the all-time great performances in NHL history. It really is. I've been watching hockey a long time, man. And that was as good as it got. And they score on like a little sort of a flicker. And Vancouver had numerous power play opportunities, Scotty, and always going for the picture-perfect goal. And they just didn't get it. You look at the Philadelphia Flyers. And I don't want to break Carver's heart, but Philadelphia is only alive because of cheap goals where they just flick at the net. And
right.
In the playoffs, bro, you just have to put the puck on the net, man.
No doubt. All right. Rockets beat the Lakers tonight. That was huge. And the Heat are kicking the Bucks'
Lakers
ass.
Quit.
They did quit. They're pikers, and I enjoyed every minute of it. I had the Rockets in 6.5. All right, everybody. I'll see you Tuesday. Morenci, have a great show. Mafia, great job. Good night, everybody. Peace out.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.